Chicago's Afternoon News 720 WGN. You have seen Adrian Bankert's face lately as host of Morning in America on News Nation. Maybe you saw her as a celebrity Insta-greeter for the Choose Chicago Greeter program. We thought it was pretty cool when we found out that the top doc for the city, Dr. Arwady, was actually leading architectural cruises. Now we find out you're down there meeting and greeting tourists? What is up?
Well, I was invited by the Publicity Club of Chicago, and I was very grateful because one of my favorite things to do in Chicago is act like a tourist. So that makes for being the perfect tour guide, right? I love the boats. I love doing the Chicago architectural tour on the river, and I love walking the river walk. And so we had, I want to say like 30 people ended up showing up. So we had to divide into two groups because it was my first time, and I don't think I could have handled that many people. So we ended up having folks from Vienna, Germany, Montreal, Quebec, and I was like, okay, I get the international crowd. But they had come for their first time in Chicago, and it's one of the most beautiful cities, I believe, in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So and pre-pandemic, we were getting about 45 million tourists every year in the city. We're not back to those numbers, but it certainly is nice to see the streets filled with people. Hey, what's going on at Cracker Barrel? Cracker Barrel comment section lit up with one person calling them being woke and going broke. That's what they're congratulating them for. So.
That's so funny. I have frequented quite a number of Cracker Barrels in my day, and it's kind of surprising that they have a healthier option now, or at least presumably healthy. It's a plant-based impossible meat sausage. And there are people who are in uproar because they think, of all things, this is sacred. Don't mess with my meat. But you don't have to order impossible meat.
Like, no.
You do, it's optional. You can order your hog, get the bacon with the grits and the scrambled eggs. You're fine. But it's for people who are obviously watching their meat intake.
Yeah, but the Cracker Barrel folks want Jimmy Dean. But that's the point. You can offer a million different things on the menu. It doesn't mean that you're forced to eat it. And one person actually said, you're forcing us to eat fake meat. And no, they're not. But
no,
not everybody, you know, wants to eat pork anymore. The impossible is an option for that. So
it's an option. And it's tasty, actually. I mean, if you like that kind of thing, I think it tastes quite nice.
And here's the thing. If you want a little comedy in your life this afternoon, go check out the comment section on your Cracker Barrel website. Adrian, I don't know if you talked about this on Morning in America, but I have to tell you, when I read it, I was stunned that the TJ Maxx parent company was actually fined. They were selling products for children that they knew had been recalled. They knew it, right?
Well, I guess they didn't quite know because the process for recalled products wasn't, either it didn't succeed or it wasn't as monitored as it might be through an actual distributor, right? So there was a set time of, I want to say 4 or 5 years, I want to say 2014 to 2019, but don't quote me on that, where they were selling and making money from products that had been recalled, including one item that actually led to 50 infant deaths. And so now they're going to have to pay up $13 million, and they haven't admitted to actual wrongdoing. They haven't flat out said we were wrong, we knew, but they are saying that safety is their highest priority and that it's unfortunate that these products were not taken off the shelves.
I feel as humans, we're the only thing without a barcode these days. And I would think when everything has a barcode, there would be an alert system that would say, hey, this has been recalled, pull it from your shelves.
You'd think so. But I think when you have the resell model of a TJ Maxx or a Marshall's, where things are, you know, brought in on some kind of assembly line that didn't make it in a store, like a traditional department store, then I think that somehow something was overlooked. And that's really, really bad.
I've been regularly paying less than $4 for a gallon of gas, and for me, that's a big win.
Whoa.
I'm excited about it.
Where? You live out in the suburbs or something. It's like $5.19.
Yeah, you don't get that in the city, but the prices are dropping. And tell me what that means to you, because I know one of the things you were talking about on Morning in America was how this is the falling gas prices mean more than OPEC numbers.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you sit there and you're thinking, okay, so is the White House going to come out and just, you know, pat themselves on the back because you know, the president, the current administration, they really were wanting to make all these sweeping changes to get the price of gas down. And it was going down by like 5 cents, 10 cents. Out in California, when I was paying like $6.37 a gallon for gas, when I traveled to see family, you're thinking, this can't keep going on. I mean, we can't go over $8 a gallon for gas, can we? But it's something that everybody's celebrating, and I'm sure that Washington is happy about, even though there was just that announcement that the OPEC nations, we're not going to increase their output, which is something that President Biden talked about when he traveled over to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So I'd like to know a little bit more about why they went down, but in another sense, I really don't care. I'm just glad they're less. I'm glad the pump is kinder, gentler.
Me too, because I got to tell you, Adrian, I thought once they got the prices up there that they wouldn't come down dramatically. And they've come down a bit. Now they're 31% mm-hmm. over what we were paying at this time last year. But I really didn't. I didn't have much hope for paying less. And I'm happy that I am now.
I know. So quickly, too, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't that long of a battle.
Yesterday, we were talking about Prince's estate finally being mm-hmm. settled. And I just couldn't believe that he had been gone 6 years.
6 years. It was actually my first story that I reported on when I worked for ABC News and went out to Paisley Park. And what an icon. What a legendary performer. His attorney, the manager of his estate for the family, came on Morning in America to discuss this. And there are two management entities or attorneys groups that have split this estate in half. And one side is more the, you know, corporate trust, and the other is representing family members. And they're very, very thankful because he didn't have a will. So because of that, this could take a decade or more, according to Londell McMillan, who is the manager of this estate for the family. But 6 years, I think they're very grateful.
Have you been to Paisley Park? Have you gone on the tour up there?
Not on the tour, no. I reported from the outside when he... when it was found that he passed away. But what a landmark for the Midwest.
Yes, absolutely. Go on the tour. You will be stunned. There's some moments where you're like, oh, what? And
really?
Yeah. Pay for the tour and do it and you'll love it. So he had a $156 million estate, but $6 million in cash. Isn't that kind of unusual to have that much money, that kind of cash?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I also don't believe the $156 million. I think that's what's published. But I don't know that I believe that that's the total value of his estate, especially because the music, now the family is going to be able to release some of this never-before-heard music.
Right.
And maybe we don't know how much that truly is, that catalog. So,
thank you for joining us. We always love when you jump on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Thank you.